Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
Of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations. Edward, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, even though I was just notified by somebody on Facebook that your little buddy still, after all these years, doesn't know the name of our show and mm-hmm. has the ad words to the show plug on the daily update. Apparently, we are Over the Top Rope Radio, which I don't ever remember having a rope in there. You think your best friend would know what the name of your show is, Craig?
Well, number one, he's not my best friend, and number two, what do you expect?
And we are yet to be joined by our other co-host, who apparently planned the whole show for today. So, well, he actually just dialed in perfect timing. What's going on, Contreras? Hey.
Not much is going on.
Not too much. Just waiting for you to call in. You're a little late.
Well, that's life.
Maybe for you. I'm always on time.
Okay.
But before we get to our topic, I will give Couture credit for one thing. I think the title of this week's show is like the greatest title we've ever had for a show. And, That was actually pretty cool.
I was trying to think of something, and just all a bunch of different stuff came to me. It's a good collection of different topics, so.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, do we want to just jump into our topics, or do anything you guys want to bring up before?
Well, it depends on how early you want to get done with the show.
Well,
you know,
I can improvise, Craig. I can stretch a show out. I'm not like you. I don't freak out, you know.
All right, well, tap dance then and improvise.
So Granny is playing Pinochle with Crimson's grandfather.
That is the story going around town, yes, sir.
Yeah, that actually came out on one of the Brian Vinny shows like maybe about 2 weeks ago, I think she brought it up. And she didn't actually know it was Crimson, so like Brian had to kind of figure it out on the show. And it's kind of small world. And Brian says that the guy is always bragging about Crimson, but then Crimson had got fired. It was like right when he had got fired, like right after. And so Granny was gonna, because you know how Granny is such a nice lady, she was gonna go up there and rub it in the guy's face that he got fired.
Yeah, that's not nice.
That's great.
Who knows? Maybe Crimson and Brian will be related pretty soon. You never know.
Weird
could be a little connection.
I really hope Crimson has a drum set.
Brian should tell Granny to tell his grandfather to work on his punches. Tighten stuff up.
work on your stupid haircut and your stupid tan and your punches.
Running
and,
the rope.
Learn to take corners better. Yeah.
Kristen must be the worst wrestler to ever have that many wins in a row.
I don't think he's really all that bad. He was just...
No.
Shouldn't have had a win streak.
Met Crimson the last time TNA was in town, actually. And he was super, super nice and very friendly to my son. And actually took a photo with the young man. He's a really nice cat. I hope he lands on his feet.
Well, he's young and got size, so I'm sure he'll get a chance here or there. I mean, I wouldn't even...
Everybody allowed to work at that house show you went to?
Pardon?
Was everybody allowed to work at that house show you went to?
Yes, everybody was allowed to work at that house show.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, since we passed our weed law, they put Van Damme in the main event.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a while ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I imagine they'll be around here in the next few months, but who knows? Who knows if they'll even be around.
They can afford to come there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since you brought that up,
why don't we
jump into some of our news for the evening? Katrina, why don't you go ahead and introduce our news segment for the evening with your topic?
This is the new segment for the evening. We talk wrestling. Continue.
That was, like, so awesome.
Murder, nipples, and designing women is the topic for this evening.
Awesome. Okay. First up, we'll go with TNA news. Licensing issues ruin a TNA house show. The house show, which ran Saturday in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, drew a painfully small crowd around the 250 range. Six TNA stars had not been licensed by the Missouri State Athletic Commission, and as a result, they were not allowed to work the show. Therefore, several talents, including James Storm, who the night before had suffered what appeared to be a stinger and was actually paralyzed for a few minutes, ended up working multiple times. The fans were told that if they left before the match, they could get a full refund, which obviously a few fans were going to take TNA up on, since they were already there and since no TNA fans were going to take them up on there because they were already there and in their seats.
What?
Very few TNA fans took them up on the refund because they were already there and in their seats.
Oh, yeah, it sounds a little more better.
Yes, I apologize.
Take a reading pass over the week, for instance.
Well, I'll do that when you take
the spell. That's rich.
Yeah. The fans were also treated to join wrestlers backstage for meet and greets. They do this gimmick at every TNA house show, by the way. Since only 250 fans showed up, they could easily be accommodated. The bad news is there were many fans who paid $65 for VIP tickets that included the meet and greet. And, of course, they were upset that everyone else who bought the cheap tickets also got the meet and greet for free. The wrestlers who were not licensed. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. So you pay extra
first
money.
Of all, I wouldn't have spent $65 for a meet and greet with TNA in the first place. So.
Well, here's the way the TNA house shows work since I've actually been at one and actually popped four front row tickets for TNA. The first, I think it's the first four rows are considered ringside, and if you buy those tickets, you get into the show early and you are allowed to surround the ringside area. And wrestlers will come down the ramp and around the ringside area, and they will sign autographs, and they call it a meet and greet. So if you buy the front row tickets, that's what you get. But since there weren't as many wrestlers and the show went 90 minutes as reported, Everybody was allowed to participate in the quote-unquote meet and greet, and I'm sure everybody got plenty of time with every wrestler.
Okay.
That's kind of like at the Dragon's Gate show where we spent all that money for second row seats, and there was nobody there, so all these people who paid general admission were sitting right next to us. And they were smart enough to sit a row behind us so they could see all the rings because, you know, we had that second row enclosed view.
Yes.
I don't know how that happened, but it did.
That's the most I've ever paid for a ticket and had an obstructed view.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I was never as excited as I was when I got front row seats in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi, and the Fantastics were there, and they always spent 5 minutes going around the ring and hugging the fans. So I got to shake the hands of Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, that was kind of like I remember, like, if you watch the world class TV shows, basically they didn't let everybody, but it's like if you were a kid, you had total permission to bum rush the ring and surround it, and all the little kids had their Sharpie or whatever, and a poster, and like the Von Erichs, the Ice Parsons, Adams, they all signed autographs the entire ring entrance, pretty much, you know, and then they sent the kids back. But I mean, you know, it's the stuff that you have to pay an extra $40 for now. It was like commonplace, you know, 30 years ago.
It made those guys look like bigger stars when they did that too. I thought.
Oh yeah.
Get up. All the fans around in the ring. About 10 of them, like two of them get an autograph.
I will say this.
Bronco Lubitsch shoes them away.
One thing about TNA, you pay $65 for the VIP ticket and a ringside ticket. WWE is coming to Portland 2 days before SummerSlam, and Portland is about 2.5 hours from here. And I was looking at tickets, and to get front row up to five rows back, the price is $95 a ticket.
Oh, damn. Have you ever seen on any of the house shows, like when you look for tickets for any of the shows you went to, the house shows, so I'm probably sure they didn't do it, but have you ever seen anything called the knockout section?
The knockout section? No, I can't say that I have.
Okay, well, when they had to, you know how they taped in Las Vegas right before the convention? One of the guys on the site, when he said he was in the knockout section, he paid $100-something. He thought it was going to be like front row, but he wasn't. He was standing towards the side. And he's sitting there, and somebody asked him if he wanted to eat, and he was like, I guess that he had to pay for this. So he's like, no, and same thing about drinks. And then he noticed, like, the person next to him is like, you know, they're bringing him food, they're bringing him drinks. And then he's saying, he's like, Mickey James just happened to show up at the there to take pictures of everybody, and then like other knockouts. Basically what it was, you paid extra, you got to be in the section, you got free like drinks, free food, bunch of the different knockouts. So whatever knockouts were there would come at different times to take pictures of everybody. Dixie came and took pictures of everybody because the guy posted both photos on Facebook of like him and Dixie, him and Mickey James. So it was also a big-breasted porn star who was in the knockout section, and she was posting pictures with Dixie Carter, her and her, like, 38 double K tits, or I don't know, her tits are, like, so humongous, it's incredible, and she's like a MILF porn star, but it's just, and she's totally got an outfit where her breasts are, like, popping out on each side, and it's her and her big breasts and Dixie Carter smiling all happy. It was like, greatest picture of everything.
Okay, then. Well, let's finish out this story. The wrestlers who were not licensed were Chris Sabin, Jay Bradley, Garrett Bischoff, Wes Briscoe, Miss Tetzmacher, and Gail Kim. Without them, the show featured 5 matches. Bully Ray beat James Storm after D-Von ran in. D-Von beat Gunner after Bully Ray ran in. Samoa Joe beat Bobby Roode. Gunner and Storm beat Team 3D, and Jeff Hardy beat Kurt Angle in the main event. The blame is largely being put on the recently released Bruce Pritchard for not getting the issue taken care of. Way to go, TNA.
And I think the whole issue was they didn't do like blood work or something.
I don't want to speculate, but I don't think things are going to get better without Bruce Pritchard.
Well, honestly, when you think about, yeah, maybe the booking got a little better when he took over, but you hear all these stupid-ass things like D-Von contact coming up when he's a TV champion, shit like that. All this stupid shit you've heard about happened when Bruce Pritchard was in charge. So, I mean, you know, maybe this Big Sean will be better at the job than Bruce Pritchard.
I don't see it, but, you know, what do I know? But that's just one of the problems with TNA right now, though. There's numerous problems.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like one of those old world-class spot shows where you had, like, the Midnight Express against the Fantastics. And they come out later and wrestle singles match against one another because they needed two more matches on the show.
Yeah.
The Von Erichs got their directions or something.
Yeah. The couple of times NWA actually came up here, they had 10 matches on the card, and 6 of them were Portland Wrestling matches.
Hmm.
So, which was fine with me because, you know, we got Portland Wrestling up here. But,
they did used to do stuff with, like, Portland Wrestling back then when they come in that area.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, and that was the time, you know, there were still territories and whatnot, and that was fine. But who knows where else they ran.
That's just like incompetence by having all these people not licensed.
That is really stupid. That is really
especially
stupid.
Like,
you
know, especially like some states are actually pretty hard to run shows. I mean, there's a lot of rules in a lot of states, so you think that they'd be prepared for everything and... You know, especially a show in the middle of nowhere. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just dumb. I mean, they travel all over the country, and you think you would know the laws of the land when you get to that part of the land. Just kind of silly. Of course, if they were on an Indian reservation, everybody could have worked, and it wouldn't have been a problem. So. That just goes to show you.
That's
book all your matches
like
at casinos.
That's what they did in like Canada when Ed Whalen got the show thrown off the air. They went to the Indian reservations or something like that to work.
Yeah. In Canada, we never had to get licensed. You just showed up and worked. There's no commission in Canada, and anywhere on the reservations around here. The commission doesn't have to be there, but if you run outside of the reservation, there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. All your wrestlers need to be licensed, of course. They have to have blood tests. They randomly drug test people. And then they'll pop you for even smoking a little weed. If you have weed in your system, they can suspend you. The state can suspend you, and you can't work for 30 days.
The worst thing about working the Indian reservation is all the drunk people.
Oh, Katrina.
It's a joke, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but it's kind of, there's a lot of truth to it, unfortunately. And they're not even good drunks at that.
Hey, I watched Longmire on A&E. I know what it's all about.
One of my best friends and from high school, middle school, growing up with, his mom was dating this guy who was, like, the nicest guy in the world. He was super awesome, but he was, like, half Indian, and if he just had a little bit to drink, he told me he was, like, a total 360. I mean, I went to go pick up my friend one time, and this drunk old little man comes out, and his little skimpy underwear starts screaming at me that he's going to kick my ass if I take his Sean out of the house and this and that. And I mean, it was, like... Some of the greatest. I wish I would have had, my cell phone would have video cameras back in the day because this guy, if he had a little alcohol, he was a stereotypical Indian.
That's Crazy Talk. No, really, that was his name, Crazy Talk. Anyway. old Simpsons joke. All right. Next topic. Next news story. Dixie Carter addressed fans' complaints. A message to fans from TNA president Dixie Carter. Hello, everyone. In the 11-plus years that I've been with TNA, I am still amazed by the passion of pro wrestling fans. That passion, both positive and negative, is remarkable and something that all of us at TNA value. With that said, I ask for questions from you like I have done many times in the past, but I didn't provide a time frame by which I would answer you. I know I have frustrated you all, and I apologize. Beginning next week, each Thursday, I will answer legitimate questions from you on a weekly basis. I will not, however, address outrageous or hurtful questions or posts. I also wanted to take this opportunity to provide perspective from inside TNA, where we stand and with support from our current and future fans around the globe, from where we are going. What is being shared with you now is what was shared with the Impact roster before our phenomenal Destination X show from Louisville, Kentucky last week. This has been a big year for TNA, and we took Impact Live on the road exactly where it needed to be, where you've asked us to be, and in your backyards. I don't remember they're running a backyard, but I'm sure that'll be coming up soon. Just heard that in there. We also changed our pay-per-view schedule, shifting from 12 to 4 live pay-per-view events each year. And in order to increase the value of these events to you, to grow TNA, these are moves that needed to be made. And part of changes like this include structural changes within TNA to align this with the new business model. Many of your comments and questions referred to recent roster changes. The relationship that fans have with wrestlers is unique, I'll say, and not only one of the many great aspects in the wrestling business. And for this reason, releasing talent is never easy. Not for you and not for us. But bringing in fresh faces and with the best wrestling talent in the world, what would you expect and what TNA will always strive to deliver. Recently, we have brought back some talents, including favorites Sanjay Dutt, Andy Williams, and Homicide. Hold on, we're almost done. I'm almost done.
Why don't you let him finish, Christ's sake? Jesus.
All right, girl. And you will continue to see this and the new talent that we are excited to introduce to you in the coming months. TNA has always been and will continue to be a place where you can interact with the superstars, whether in person, at live events, or via social media like Twitter and Facebook. We are constantly exploring new and interesting ways to take this interaction to another level, and you will see this unfold in the upcoming weeks. I appreciate each of you taking the time to share your thoughts, opinions, and ideas. Your input and feedback helps us create a better product. I hope you will join us when Impact Live returns to your area. Yours, Dixie Carter. What a load of crap.
Well, if she's only going to answer the serious questions, I mean, she can knock that out in 15 minutes. I don't know why she thinks she needs to do that for the week.
This As Dixie thing is the greatest thing I've ever seen. do you make Serge choke you and call you Nancy?
Ooh.
You can't see that your company is dying a slow delirious death, but can you see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch? let's see. Relic is killer spelled backwards, but what is Fleshroy Cuff Og spelled backwards? Oh, go fuck yourself. at WWE The Buzzard, CNA Dixie, the time for us to start circling your company now. TNA Mike Tanay, am I going to get a paycheck this summer?
Ooh.
Has Spike offered to send John Taffer to rescue your company? Apparently, that's a guy from Bar Rescue. I'll send Gordon Ramsay from Kitchen Nightmares. He'd straighten that shit up.
Yeah, and Dale Kemp's husband, by the way.
And
entertaining. When will you be signing Stu, Brett, or Teddy? Because you definitely need a heart after today. Well, I don't think Stu's funny.
No.
Ask Stu the anal question mark. How does it feel to be a medical miracle? You know, the first human beings to survive this long without a heart. Carol, I feel sorry for this poor woman. She's a nice lady from everything I've heard, so.
She's hot.
Have you ever thought of paying Stu from one of your contracted knockouts at Fashion Bug? Have you ever been impaled?
I would love to see Dixie in a Brazzers video.
Oh, my gosh.
If Darren Drozdov worked for you, would you push his wheelchair down an escalator just for laughs?
Oh,
I was laughing just listening to Dave and Brian call these out the other night. That was funny as hell.
It would have been funnier if Dave was the one reading them.
Here's a good one. Have you ever tried paying wrestlers with BFG, Bound for Glory points?
You can get sodas and drinks from the concession stand and feel free to load up on shirts. Oh my god.
See, Sting and Jesse Sorensen hanging from a cliff can only save one. How long before Jesse hits the ground?
Okay, this is a good time for me to jump in. Next story. Jesse Sorensen released. Sorensen, 24, was nearly left a quadriplegic on February 12th, 2012, in a match at the Against All Odds pay-per-view. Sorensen was wrestling Zima Ion in an X Division Top Contenders match when Ion did a flip dive off the top rope to the floor and landed badly on Sorensen's head. Sorensen suffered a C1 vertebrae fracture and a spinal cord edema. Sorensen eventually recovered fully the use of his limbs and has been able to live a normal life. He was given a job behind the scenes, working in both marketing and television as a television production assistant. The company has set up an angle for a triumphant return to the ring for Sorensen, with him scheduled to be Ion for the world title at Bound for Glory. However, Sorensen was not able to return to the ring by that time, which led to RVD winning the title. Sorensen was no longer even talked about as returning to the ring this year. Instead, he had been talked of training to compete in bodybuilding contests, which did not have any kind of physical demands of pro wrestling. While Sorensen was not a major player in the company, from public and confidence standpoint, this only made the perception worse. Sorensen was not a highly paid employee, so the savings to the company was minimal when it comes to saving, and the feeling was that he had suffered a broken neck and a life-changing experience performing for them. The story was he was earning more than someone else they could hire for the same position. After a long recovery process and being promised by the president of TNA Wrestling, Dixie Carter, I would always have a job with her company. I recently was released from my current contract and shown that these promises were false, wrote Sorensen this week. During my time away from the ring, I decided to pursue bodybuilding and have been prepping for the Hurricane Bay bodybuilding show in Tampa, Florida on October 5th in 2013. Now, due to my recent release, I will have to drop out of my show. Sorensen was attempting to raise enough money through donations to allow him to continue and prepare to compete in the show. The amount he was hoping to raise was, this is sad, a mere $600.
And he did raise it, by the way.
Good. I'm sure enough fans felt sorry for him and took care of him. Yep, that was a bad move.
When I first heard the name Jesse Sorensen, I swear to God, it took me like half the day to figure out who the fuck they were talking about. My first thought was actually they fired the dude from Biggest Loser. I thought that's who they were talking about for a minute.
Mm. Well, they fired him
later
too.
On after. Oh, they did?
No, I'm just kidding. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it too. It's crazy. We thought the same thing.
Yeah, that's kind of scary to me. But yeah. And then after I actually read the article, and then I was like, oh, it's that dude. It's the dude who Zima fucked up. But what I thought was funny is like a lot of like older wrestlers or the guy was getting a lot of heat like on Facebook and other medias for like coming out the way he did. And I read the article. He didn't say anything bad. I mean, other than saying he did, you know, keep the promises. It's not like he bashed TNA in any way. You know what I mean?
Right.
He didn't hardly say anything. And he got like, it was taking like a lot of heat for like bashing the way they were. But I mean, I'd be pissed off too if someone told me I had a job for life and then I didn't, especially when I almost died, you know, trying
to be in the wrestling business. I would think I would not go by that in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be, especially if it's TNA, I don't know if I'd believe it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's
Vince McMahon or something, maybe I would.
The aforementioned Darren Drozdov is still on the company books with WWE right now, isn't he?
I think he got something happened. I think he sued him one time, but I think
mm-hmm.
he's still taking care of him, you know.
Yeah.
Everything he needs, so.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a lot worse off. I mean, people were acting like, it's not like Jim Sorensen's in a corner in a chair at production meetings and they ask him questions and he has to blink to give an answer. I mean, his quality
He's training for a bodybuilding contest. That's another reason why I don't think he's getting a lot of sympathy by some people, because he's training for a bodybuilding competition when he's supposed to be crippled. Like, I think people automatically assume he's supposed to be crippled, and then they hear he's doing a body. It's like, what?
Yeah, but a bunch of people some people are acting like he's, like, just completely, like, you know, he's just wheelchair-bound for the rest of his life or something. That couldn't be any further from the truth. I mean, I'm not so much, you know, I'm not so much negative that they release somebody hurt. It's just that I'm more negative that they didn't think about the public relations nightmare it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I can
find,
you could get like 10 other people on the roster that you could, or in the company that you could release. When in doubt,
absolutely,
just fire out. No, that's a good thing to say, right?
Yep. I couldn't think of many wrestlers in the ring last night that I would have gotten rid of.
Ken Anderson is still on your roster. Something's fucked up, and you released the guy that almost got crippled.
Yeah, it's silly. I mean,
and it's not like I don't even think Dixie's probably the one doing this. I mean, for my life, I just like her mom's doing the books and everything. She's just giving the orders of who to fire, and it's just like it's a money thing.
Not it's
like
absolutely a money
being
thing.
Hateful on purpose.
It's absolutely a money thing, and you know, her dad is a millionaire and has been pretty much bankrolling the company for years now. And at some point, you gotta stop the bleeding. And who could blame mom, you know? Who could blame mom when dad's money is being thrown around so liberally?
Well, you kind of have to act like, when you have a tax write-off, you do have to kind of act like you're trying to stop the bleeding, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, you know,
got a lot of stuff in the wrestling business, so fine.
Oh, yeah.
I could see TNA going on for a few more years. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as they're making it sound. Like I say, I think it's totally a tax write-off to them. So, as long as it's worth to have that write-off, you know, I see them keeping it afloat for a few more years. But, yeah, I mean, every once in a while they'll have these bad spurts, and this is like one of the biggest ones they've had, you know, as far as all the bad luck that they've had, like the show, them firing him right when they're asking Dixie questions. I mean, it's just, it's just this is really bad timing in every single way, in every aspect.
And, some people like the typical, like, teenagers in the successful company. Look, it's known all around the world. You know, they got international deals. You know, they've had video games and you know, stuff like that. And I mean,
yeah,
they're a successful company in that sense. But
sure.
Why did you hire everyone on the cover of the Death of WCW book to run your company?
I'll never forget Brian Alvarez years ago. He called me. He said, "Craig, there is a pay-per-view on this Wednesday. I want you to get it, record it, and I'll come over Saturday and watch it. And we're going to do this for a few weeks because I don't think they're going to last long." I think that was like 12 years ago or something.
Well, did you first question why he wanted you to purchase and tape a pay-per-view he wasn't going to be there for until like Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. And this was before DDRs. This is before DDR, so I actually had to videotape it. And
so you had to pay for the pay-per-view. You had to pay for the VHS tapes. And the reason he wanted you to record it, he'd come Saturday, is because by then, it's not like he's, you know, I mean, that's an excuse not to pitch in for the pay-per-view. So all these years later, you brought it on yourself, Craig, because you let Brian outsmart you. And you should have told him, no, you have to come that night, and then made him pay.
Yeah. I fed the stray dog, and he kept showing up. My fault.
You could have, by all the money you spent on pay-per-views over the years, you probably could have an extra room that you could have added onto your house, and you could have put all your Pearl Jam memorabilia in there.
You should see where I'm sitting right now. You wouldn't have to say that.
I'm glad I didn't walk into that room when I was at your house that one time. I probably would have been scared to the picture of that.
I'm in my office right now.
He does all these Pearl Jam things, and then signs Eddie Vedder afterward, and he gets him signed 15 8x10s. Can you put on eBay or something?
Absolutely not. No, I'm not. Okay, I have been that guy. But
not
I'm
that big a loser.
Not that guy. Yeah. I'm a loser. I'm not that big of a loser. Oh, phone ring.
At home.
Hey, man.
Yep.
Well, let's get on to more fun news. It'll enjoy this. We'll stop the TNA news and we'll talk some more TNA news.
TNA?
There was a nip slip on Raw. # only Ed could care. On her Twitter account, Brie Bella posted the following after a quote-unquote wardrobe malfunction last night. "I apologize for my wardrobe malfunction. I am embarrassed and it looks as though the humidity made my tape come off. You'll never see that again." Signed, B. Near the end of the Divas segment, the camera panned to Brie, and her left nipple was exposed. WWE management was obviously not happy about it. Now, with that said, let me interject here just for a moment. If they were that upset about it, then why is it that on the West Coast feed, the nipple in question was not blurred out?
I don't know.
Because it was a worse spot.
It was a worse spot.
It was a worse spot. I'm going to fuck what they say. That was a worse spot.
I accidentally
on purpose.
I do not believe this. I think the nipple went into business for itself.
They're acting all outraged because they have to, but the fact is they planned it. They're trying to get some extra publicity, and it didn't actually happen because I guess people didn't like the segment. But I will say I am a little ashamed of myself that I didn't notice that on first take. I have to realize it on Facebook, and immediately DVR back and saw it, and I'm glad that people pointed it out on Facebook, but...
I really wasn't paying attention to this segment. It didn't do much for me.
I was alerted to the nipple in question by one Marty De La Rosa, who does a podcast with Colt Cabana, when he said, "Wow, Bella Nipple is trending on Twitter." And that's where I saw it first. And I had already deleted it off my DVR. But fear not, there's an internet. So if I wanted to see nipple in question, I can find it very easily.
I have the internet too. I can find many nipples very easily. And other parts.
Yeah, and if you're really looking for one of them, I think it's the other one that I would like to see. Just saying.
I'm planning on watching it, though, because I'm like perversely entertained by that little clip. It's so stupid.
I know, it's like, you're so worried it's like her, but then Bree's like, who could get, you know, Bree, who looks exactly like Nikki except for smaller tits, is like, yeah, whatever, who cares?
Mm-hmm. And the new Eva Marie girl, she is really hot. She's my kind of girl.
Who thought that she was shooting on Jerry Lawler when she slapped him at first?
Well, I'm sure Jerry made a bad
head. Had a heart attack without even knowing.
To me, it looked like they worked it, like they were trying to set Jerry up for something like that, for her to like slap him and have, you know what I mean? But
yeah, it didn't
Jerry's
look like you know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, he acted like he didn't know what was going on, but it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of, I think it could go either way. I mean, I could kind of
like
see if they wanted to
go over that he can't be slapped.
Yeah.
If I know Jerry Lawler, and I don't, but if I do know him, I say he made a pass at her, and she slapped him, because he's a dirty old man.
He probably made
a pass at her, found out that she's in her mid-20s, and then went on to the next girl, and then that would have offended her, and that's why she slapped him.
I'm worried that we're going to have, like, a SummerSlam main event after the show airs, a SummerSlam main event of Pussy Whip main eventers. It's going to come out on the show. I'm actually kind of surprised they're doing that. They're acknowledging all these relationships or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
My local morning radio show that I listen to here in Seattle, it's the BJ Shea Morning Experience on KISW. By the way, Brian Alvarez will be making an appearance on that show here very soon. I'll alert you as to when, as I have talked to the producer of said show for his book. But they were talking about
host on the show when you have a real host like myself on your own show, Craig. What the hell?
Anyway, they were speculating that, of course, this had to have been planned because what a better spot for it to happen with this new show coming out on Sunday and so forth and so on. And they were absolutely convinced that this was 100% a planned thing. And Ed echoed that, and I think I might be in that camp as well. I don't think this nipple was a rogue nipple. I think this was done on purpose.
I think the clip of that show is complete and total bullshit. I mean,
so, yeah.
Every show on E! Is bullshit, and they actually get viewers, so I can actually see it doing okay. You know, and I hope you guys are going to be ready to review this show in depth next week.
I haven't watched E! Since they had, like, at 10 o'clock at night when they would show, like, the Howard Stern show or something. And I can't remember the last time that was. It was years ago. So.
Yeah, that was a long time. I used to watch that every once in a while. They had that, and they had, like, the Soup. The Soup was actually kind of funny sometimes. They'd have some cool, like, documentaries like the thing, but basically all the shows on E! Are about just hot chicks being catty and bitchy to each other. And
isn't that where all that Kardashian bullshit's on?
Yeah.
Sounds right.
That's where they also had, like, I think that's the channel that had the like Heth's girlfriends, like Kendra and two other chicks. I think that show was on E!
He and his wife or something like that had a show on there.
Who?
Ice Tea.
Yeah, Coco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice loves Coco.
He's hot.
So does Craig. What?
I'd rather watch those fake-ass reality shows like on True TV, like fucking Lizard with Cohen or something like that. That's just funny as hell.
Those are so funny.
That is
even
so
even like the little the little episode thing between guys coming into Pawn Stars and trying to pawn their stuff when they're setting up drama within the shop. It's so bad.
The guys on Liz Licto, and they were doing this, they were working security at this charity event, and one of the celebrities was Ric Flair, and they saw that some guy they needed to repo his car was one of the people at the event. So they repoed his car at the event, and Ric Flair fired him. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
You know what the greatest reality TV show though, dude, was that fucking Hardcore Midgets.
Oh yeah. That's awesome.
Micro Championship Wrestling? Is that what it is? Or
now, I don't think it was the
Pint Size Brawler.
Pint Size Brawler. That one was awesome.
Oh, I watched the other one with that had like Hulk Hogan on it or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, didn't Roderick Strong, wasn't Roderick Strong one of the fucking heels in that TV show?
He was a fraternity member, and they got these midgets here to do this show at their frat house, and then he tried to shortchange them on their money, and they beat him up.
That must have been a stretch for him.
Ah. But like, they had that show on, like, True TV or Core TV or whatever it's called, and they had it called All Worked Up, and they were, like, at the ROH matches. Did you ever see any of those? Where, like, they were following the guy around? Or something like that?
I
think Red Titus gave a girl his room key, and his boyfriend got all pissed off about it. Just started fighting
after the show. It was about the security, right? And then they had one where Austin Aries, like, punched the guys. But every time they would show different scenes with Aries, is one day he'd be clean, like, one thing he'd be clean cut. The other one he'd have, like, a goatee or beard. And 2 seconds later, he'd clean cut back and forth. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, Craig, that is very rude of you to insult somebody on their birthday, man. You should apologize to Roderick Strong right now.
Nobody
knows Roderick Strong's birthday.
I'm sorry, Roger, can you share a birthday with Rob Feinstein?
Why did you just have to ruin the whole segment right there?
True story.
Very Allen.
All right, from one boob to another, former WWE developmental talent arrested for murder. Brian McGee, a Missouri-based independent wrestler who was recently in the WWE developmental program, will be charged with murder after stabbing his former girlfriend, Bianca, in a Tampa apartment complex. The stabbing is believed to have taken place at 8:30 p.m. Deputies arrived at 8451 Del Lago Circle and found the female victim stabbed multiple times. The woman died of her injuries. Police chased McGee's vehicle, which ended up crashing in the chase. He was taken to the hospital, and police deputies said he would be charged with first-degree murder. McGee wrestled as Donovan Rudrick in Missouri and D.T. Porter in developmental. About 30 minutes after the stabbing was reported, McGee put a bloody arm on his Facebook profile page. Good thinking. Which was not his. And wrote, "Didn't know I had it in me. The bitch is dead and I'm next. No deal for me, baby." McGee has gotten some publicity for writing something on Facebook while in WWE saying he loved wrestling, but every day gets worse. Now, the trainers were ribbing and disrespecting him in front of the other boys and said he had daydreams of effing everyone up in some real S and talked about drinking every day, then claimed his account was hacked. WWE released him 3 months later.
I blame Hugh Morse.
Well, the first thing I got to say is, what a pussy, because he sure didn't live up to his promise and let the kids kill him. The cops kill him and go out in the blaze of glory. He just wrecked his car and went to jail. But
that's the thing that bothers you about this?
Well, yeah, very much. And the second thing is, I can kind of understand where the guy would be in this kind of state of mind. I mean, anybody who would be forced to have to spend time with the beach machine and do shows and be on the road and be his tag team partner, I could kind of see him wanting to kill somebody. But
is he on Team Bigger? Is that what this stuff leads to? Murder?
It's probably. He got mad because he was the prize of cards or something. But it is a pretty fucked up story. I mean, he pretty much butchered the girl, you know, and it could be like his baby's mama, maybe. I'm not too sure. But, I mean, yeah, pretty fucking sad, fucked up story. And I was trying to get that bag teach on the show tonight, but I guess he's too busy doing jujitsu with Brian Alvarez. And, it's one of those crazy stories. He basically had a cup of coffee in the WWE. It's not like he's a WWE wrestler, so they shouldn't get that flack from it. I mean, they shouldn't get any flack from it at all, you know, really, you know.
I blame Bill DeMott. Well, don't. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Bill's got to tighten his stuff up. He can't be doing that shit no more. Big Brother's watching now.
Mm-hmm.
The new performance center.
Yeah.
Got a camera on every ring.
I mean, you do hear, I mean, like, even like when Layla was on the show, she said that they fucked with her hardcore. It's been just a couple of days she was there. And, you know, you hear all these stories come out of guys, you know, I mean, most of them, of course, had been cut for a while. And they'll come up with stories about, like, the horror stories. But, yeah,
hopefully there's something to all the stories. It's not like this grand conspiracy between all the people that have been cut and developmental to make all this shit up. Something to it. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it's pro wrestling. It's just, you know, there's been ribs going back to all, you know, the territory days and they were on the roads, and now they're ribbing all the new people. And
when I heard about the Facebook stuff, I went and put his name in the little search engine on Facebook and kind of dismayed to see that I had a couple of friends of mine who were friends of his, and I was going to looking his name up. And so I went there and saw that picture of that cut arm or whatever, and that. The one thing that pissed me off, you've got all these people that are obviously family or friends that have worded the shit out, he worded the shit out of, and they're all flipping out on Facebook. I hate shit when people do shit like that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Do all this, you know, this look at me, for me shit, and everybody's worried about them and stuff like that. I hate that stuff.
Yep. I agree.
I had a friend on his birthday. He had only been on Facebook for a couple months. This is when I first got on Facebook. And he was a cool dude in high school, and he's like, seems like everything's going good for him. He got to draw some picture for the Dallas Cowboys when they were doing training camp here. He's got like a girlfriend, a kid, and apparently, I guess right before his birthday, I guess the chick breaks up with him. So on his birthday, he's making all these screwed up posts about, not straight out, saying he's going to kill himself, but, you know, shit like that, all these posts, and then he, like, deleted his Facebook account. So, you know, for, like, a while, it's like everyone would be asking, hey, did you hear about Manuel? What's going on with Manuel? And this and that, and it's like, it's
like that Matt Hardy bullshit with that video a few years ago.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Same thing.
I mean, yeah. And I hate it when they're all, like, cryptic and stuff. The night is dark, just like my life, or some fucking horse shit like that. No, just say what the problem is, please. Or just don't get on Facebook.
That's that Matt Hardy thing, when he did that, I contacted Brian as soon as I saw it. Brian said, I've already saw it, and there are police on the way to his house right now. And I was like, did you call them? He said, I didn't have to. So... his phone was blowing up with people concerned about Matt Hardy. The police were already en route. Jeff was hiding his stash. It was a bad scene. And what an idiot.
Well, I remember this one guy on my Facebook who's a big wrestling fan, and he's handicapped. And he was begging people on Facebook to call the cops because he thought Matt Hardy was going to kill himself. It's like, you know what I mean?
But no, where else was to call the cops from? Call 911, tell them to go to North Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go to Cameron, North Carolina, go to Hardy Street, and find Matt and Jeff, and I'll be hanging in the outside. Anyway.
Take a left at Hurricane Avenue.
Right. And if you hit Shannon Moore, you've gone too far.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God. That kind of stuff. See, that kind of stuff. See, I became aware of that, like, on the night it happened. I said, I'm worried that some dude's going to have gone and killed himself or something.
Yeah.
He probably got all these fat girls, put their s'mores down, and called the police or something. Got them all worried. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, we have one last story, and it's not really even a story. It's a new DVD. It's going to be released next week. The WWE is releasing ECW Unreleased Volume 2. It will be out this next Tuesday. And I've got a rundown of the matches that are going to be on this thing. Just much like the first, I'm going to be honest, biggest ECW mark ever. And when I go back and watch some of these old watch some of these old tapes and some of these old DVDs, I am greatly concerned about what I thought was great a few years ago. But looks like they handpicked some very good things, and I'll run down a list of the match listings, and feel free to interject.
Okay.
We have Tommy Dreamer versus the Taz Maniac. This is from Hardcore Heaven, or excuse me, Hardcore TV, October 19th, 1993. Terry Funk and Arn Anderson versus Sabu and Bobby Eaton. This is from the...
Hold on, Craig. Regarding the Taz Maniac, did either of you guys ever see the... It was like the little promotion. It seems like they had like maybe just 7 or 8 shows, and they just would put them on like a loop. But it was the like Taz Maniac, Ray Odyssey, Tony Atlas, Big Steamboat. Yeah,
I think that's
Tony
Rumble
was on.
It was the Mario Savoldi promotion. That was the one, remember in the aftermath when they merged with World Class and became International World Class Championship Wrestling?
Yeah, I remember they had like an interview with Tony Rumble and Kevin Von Erich, and they're talking about how they're merging, but then you never ever saw Kevin Von Erich or anybody from World Class, and it was just IWCCCW.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, now you can go on. Yeah, I mean, if you want us to interject, Craig, you do have to give us a little pause before you run off to the net.
I did give a little pause. Got to remember, we're on the phone, for crying out loud. Terry Funk and Arn Anderson versus Sabu and Bobby Eaton. This is from the original When Worlds Collide pay-per-view, or show, I should say, May 14th,
1994. Is this the one where, like, didn't Arn get, like, pissed off at Sabu?
It was Arn turned on Terry Funk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like, during the match, didn't, like, I think Arn said, like, don't work over some part of his body, and Sabu did. And he was kind of pissed off
about
it. That was
something Sabu would do.
And if they were in the ring another time, I wouldn't have known about it. So it had to have been here.
And then Arn what's his name? Didn't they like, you know, sit on a headlock and just were doing all that kind of stuff? Those go south and everybody wanted the hardcore shit.
That might have been Shane Douglas and Tully Blanchard.
Not sure.
I remember that match was so bad that the people in the audience stood up and turned their backs.
Wow.
That's heat.
That's bad heat.
Yeah. Cactus Jack versus Terry Funk from Hardcore Heaven, 1994.
I think somebody got busted open in this one.
Almost positive. An I Quit match between Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman from Hardcore TV, October 4th, 1994.
I don't remember. The only thing I remember about their feud is when he caned the cigarette into his eye, and they had the big blinding angle, and he was going to retire, but he wasn't really blind or something. That's some good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, that was okay.
We have Eddie Guerrero and the Steiner Brothers versus Too Cold Scorpio, Dean Malenko, and Cactus Jack. This is from WrestlePalooza, 1995.
That was a great match.
One of those guys doesn't belong in that match. I mean, I'm just as far as, you know, the style as the other
style.
Guys in the match. Cactus is a little different to be in that match.
They needed somebody to get stiff by the Steiners.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he got dropped on his head a lot. Raven versus Tommy Dreamer from Holiday Hell, December 29th, 1995.
That could be one of a billion matches.
Exactly.
I bet you Tommy lost.
I bet you did here.
This is a safe bet, and it's the only one match.
The Public Enemy versus the Gangstas from House Party, 1996. Again,
I remember either of these themes. I just thought it was cool the way New Jack beat shit out of people and his song would play all the way through the match.
Yeah. And who could forget the Hot Stepper with Public Enemy?
And I've never seen the Nintendo used as a foreign object or a keyboard.
Or a Godzilla toy.
Or a Godzilla toy.
Yeah. Extreme Hardcore Shoot Fight. Yeah, I bet. Chris Jericho versus Taz from the Lost Battalion Hall, April 13th, 1996. I'm sure this is one of the Feinstein fan cam gimmicks.
Yeah, I think I saw this match. I don't remember it being very good. It was always weird when they label something a shoot fight, like everything else is fake.
Yeah. Well, the only other shoot fight they had was Taz versus Paul Varlins, who was a UFC guy. And if you remember, you see, Hyatt promised some favors to Mr. Varlins if he
went
did
back
the job.
Promise.
Yeah.
I don't have sex with jabronis or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't date my. But you hear, like, there's also a time when they were at a hotel and it was Missy and Meltzer hanging out at the pool, and Varlins was there trying to talk to her, and she just kept, like, blowing them off the whole time since talking to Dave. So Dave caught Paul Ball.
ECW Television Championship match, Too Cold Scorpio versus Shane Douglas. This is from A Matter of Respect, May 11th, 1996. This had one of the sickest things I have ever seen, where Shane Douglas powerbombed Too Cold Scorpio to death on the concrete floor.
There was also a spot on this one where he picked him up for a suplex on the concrete floor. And it was like a reverse slingshot. He picked him up and bounced his back of his legs and his rear end off of the ropes. And then it slammed down as fast as it could be on the railing. Is like one of the damnest things I've ever seen in my life. Brutal.
Yeah, it's just a brutal match. It's really good.
Cool Scorpio, he was good. I thought he was a great wrestler.
Oh yeah, and for a big man, he could he could fly. He was very underrated, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Sabu versus Chris Jericho. This is from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, August 29th. I'm pretty sure this was on the original unreleased ECW tapes that they had with Kimono Wanalea dancing atop the ECW arena. I'm pretty sure this was the on that tape.
I don't think awesome. I ever saw
it. It was a good match. It was a real good match. And another good match, Dick Togo, Terry Boy, and Taka Michinoku versus Gran Hamada, Gran Naniwa, and the Great Sasuke. This is not the pay-per-view match. This is the hardcore TV match from March 27th, 1997. This was awesome.
Yeah, I just remember the pay-per-view match, which was probably just as good. So.
Yes. And to be honest, back in the day, if you saw any of the Michinoku guys on ECW TV and you saw any of the Michinoku TV or any of the Michinoku pay-per-views that they did in Japan, all the matches kind of ended up kind of blending together, to be honest. But they, if you've seen one, you've kind of seen them all, but they're always good.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
And this is basically kind of led up to the WWE wanting to hire the Great Sasuke, and then they have to match with him and Taka got over more, so they went with Taka instead.
Yep. Yeah, the swing with Taka Michinoku and Great Sasuke when they did the pay-per-view and then the Monday Night Raw, and they had him for, gosh, maybe 2 months tops, and Sasuke went back to Japan, and Taka, of course, stayed on to become light heavyweight champion.
I remember still one of my favorite Raw matches of all time was that title match he had with Hunter on Raw in 2000.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
And he had the APA for protection, you know, right at ringside.
Yeah.
They had, like, this awesome match. I mean, I believe Taka was going to win the title.
Yeah. You thought little Taka Michinoku was going to beat Triple H for the title on this show. It was such a great show. Such a great. Anyway.
It was as good as Sappy Sappy Pee Pee.
And who?
Don't you remember when Taka was going to help Kaine Tai chop off fucking Valvina's dick?
Oh, yeah. Choppy, choppy, pee pee. Yes.
And then the next week he came out in a wheelchair pushed by John Bobbitt. He broke up with Wakamatsu's girlfriend and said she'll hate these and gave her some batteries for a vibrator. God, I can't believe I watched that.
Yeah. Yeah, we all did. Don't worry about it.
You know how stupid some of that stuff back then was?
Oh, yeah.
Everything was so hot and just like you didn't care most of the time. There's some bad stuff back then, even though it was business.
That's awesome. What are you talking about? Greatest wrestling period ever.
Oh, goodness. A three-way dance for the ECW Tag Team Championship match, the Eliminators versus the Gangsters versus the Dudleys. This is from the Buffalo Invasion, May 17th, 1997.
This could probably be one of, like, 900 matches. So,
is this the Dudley Dudleys, or is it, like, the Free Dudleys?
I think it's the Dudleys. This was from 97, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's when Devon and Bubba were really getting their team going, and they had won the titles like earlier in the year from the Eliminators.
Who were the Dudleys that were around before Bubba and Devon? It was like what Dudley Dudley.
There was Dances with Dudley. He was the Indian. There was not Dudley.
Sign guy.
He was there, and he was still with them at the time.
Yes. There was Big Dick Dudley.
Big Dick Dudley, that's right.
No, we're missing somebody. There was a whole bunch of them for a while. Dudley Dudley, that's right. Yeah, there was a bunch of them for a while.
Didn't a whole bunch of Dudleys show up at one of the WWE shows, and there's like pictures of them all sitting together, like in the stands?
I remember the Bushwhackers were Dudleys on one show. They came out with the glasses and the camouflage on.
Mm-hmm.
They show you how you can go from getting like something, because you know the Bubba Ray in those early days, it wasn't very good. It was kind of stupid.
No,
and it got an all serious gimmick for your own. So
yeah. If you watch him in TNA and see how good he is now. At one time, he was a stuttering, dancing fool.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, those matches that they had back in ECW, I mean, those would last like 45 minutes. It was like 15 minutes for the monologue, you know, at the beginning. They get, you know, say every nasty thing to the crowd and invite them in the ring to get their asses kicked, and they go all over the building. Because they're all for them camera guys. Jesus.
I can't remember exactly what the circumstance was. There was one of the female, I don't know, they weren't divas, they weren't knockouts, whatever they were in ECW.
What?
The Rats. She was in the ring, and Bubba was in there, and he was doing his stuttering gimmick, and he came, face to boob with this woman, and he had the mic, and he was going, "Buh, buh, 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 buh," and then you know the guy whacks him in the back of the head. And he goes, "Dance!" And
I remember he was there. They were at that. He was not the Manhattan Center, but was there? What was the other one? The Hammerstein Ballroom.
Okay, the Hammer.
And I, like, he was egging some people on and, like, up in the balcony. This kid is hanging over the balcony. He's trying to get down. I mean, literally. Because he wants to get to the ring. It's just some of the stuff they did back then. That's the wonder they didn't come on the
Do you remember the one pay-per-view that was, like, built around the Dudleys where, like, I think the announcer guy, what's his name, the fat guy got beat up and they found, like, a list.
Joe Gertner.
So they went and beat him. Yeah, like, Joe Gertner got beat up. So they had this list, and they're, like, on the list, they go, like, Rod Price. And Bubba's like, oh, no, Rod's a good guy. He's our friend, this and that. And then it was, like, money, and then Bubba's like, he's a dead man. And, you know, they beat up Rod Price and a bunch of other guys, and it was, like, the whole show was, like, built around Bubba. It was an awesome show.
I remember one of the most heated things was, like, I think it was one of the pay-per-views, like, maybe Heat Wave or something.
Or, it was in Florida. It's the one where
were,
I guarantee it's the one where he tells the he goes, there's a lady in the audience who taught her daughter how to suck dick.
You think it was in L.A., though?
I think
pretty
that was
sure.
Florida. I could be wrong.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah.
But it was a rowdy scene. That was like, yeah, that was crazy. That lady was
I mean,
spitting
he went
on
out
him.
There and the woman started spitting on him, and he started spitting on her back. I mean, it was, oof. Only the other heat, the most heated thing I think was when the, remember when the XPW guy showed up at that one show?
And they had like the ball in the back of the list.
Yeah, and they started a fight or something like that. Somebody asked Jerry Lynn what he thought of that. He said, I wasn't going out there with them. I ain't getting no fucking lawsuit with those guys. And they got, I think they got beat up in the parking lot or something. So.
Always a level-headed one. All right, we also have this one, probably pretty darn good. Sandman, Taz, Tommy Dreamer, and Al Snow versus Sabu, Rob Van Dam, Doug Furness, and Phil LaFong. Hardcore TV, January 5th, 1998.
That sounds like maybe when they were doing the ECW stuff with WWF. Sounds like Sabu
yeah,
and Van Dam.
Right.
Yeah,
like
we're probably
seeing
WWF at that time or something like that.
Yeah.
Of ECW World Heavyweight Championship match, Shane Douglas versus Al Snow from WrestlePalooza in 98.
The best thing about that match is just Al Snow's ring entrance, really. That was
yeah.
pretty goddamn cool when he did that. But
all the styrofoam heads being thrown into the ring.
Yeah, it's all the light. They make the light purple. They use like thin car or purple light, and you know, make that head even cooler.
You know, and somebody asked why thin car's lights are more over than anybody on the TNA roster.
That was awesome.
Vinny. Finally gave me my prize for worst caption on the Brian and Vinny Show thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a blue teddy bear with a tiny little white teddy bear head that he's holding. And it's awesome. I'll post a pic and tag you on it on Facebook. It's awesome.
I'm appalled such a thing even exists.
You'll be more appalled when you see it.
All right, we have ECW Tag Team Championship match, Chris Candido and Lance Storm versus Sabu and Rob Van Dam. Hardcore TV, June 29th, 1998. That would
I'm pretty sure that's with the titles. They lost the titles, Lance Storm and Candido. Because they were doing the bit, you know, where they hated each other, but they had but they couldn't, like, cost one another the title matches or they'd get fired because of...
Okay.
Because, like, they didn't want their bullshit feud to ruin the integrity of the Extreme Championship Wrestling Championships. I remember they did the Dream Partner tag match, and that was when Sabu and Van Dam were doing the thing as teammates, but Van Dam was a TV champion, and Sabu had a shot at the TV title. So it was, like, Sabu and Candido against Van Dam and Lance Storm, and I think during the match, like Van Dam and Sabu turned on their partners and led to the tag title match. And that's where they won the title. And I think Chris Candido almost got, he got like part of his ear cut off because they put him through a table.
Yeah.
I thought, wasn't it on like Rolling Thunder? I thought it was on Rolling Thunder that they fucked him up.
I'm not sure. Maybe they did Rolling Thunder under the table. I don't know. Well, it would be anything. Remember, he wore a headgear like Steiner for a while after that because of his ear.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, that's right, he did. Speaking of Chris Candido, hold on. We got a segue because I saw that this on the board. And apparently there's a convention coming up, and for $75, you can take a picture with Sunny. And I hope she's getting in shape, and it's the Sunny that's like when we saw like in Arizona, and that's the Sunny who was going to jail every other day. And anyway, I did some research on like her page, even though she unfriended me. I can she's got a public page. And anyway, apparently she has a new douchebag boyfriend, so I guess we can expect to be talking about Tammy Cinch very heavily in the future shows coming up. And I just can't wait for the comedy of it all. And
I just saw one in the Observer that her ex boyfriend during all that and when she was getting arrested, he got in a car crash and she wrote on Facebook, "Karma's a bitch."
Yeah.
Sweet girl.
Thanks.
That's nice.
I was alerted to this get in bed with Sunny photo op from one Mr. New Jack, and he just posted. I'm not even going to say anything, and he posted the link. And there you go, $75. You get in bed with Sunny, and take a little picture with her in her lingerie. And remember,
sometimes there's notes you just don't want to hear.
Yeah. And remember, if you're not first in line, just saying.
You'll get to me eventually.
Oh, well, hopefully the brush, they wipe her off after everyone. But,
God.
Speaking of workers trying to raise money, did y'all see the Lufisto thing? Lufisto?
No.
The who?
Okay, Lufisto. She's a woman's wrestler.
Uh-huh.
She was one of the early ones when they first, the came out, and she got hurt, but then she made the company. Anyway, she lives in Canada, and she got on one. It wasn't Kickstarter, but it was like GoFundMe or something. And she wants to raise $2,000 so she can move to Florida. And there's people who are giving her money. Yes, to move to Florida.
I wouldn't have enough nerve to do something like that. Maybe if I had a bad medical condition or something that was like urgent, I need some money to. To help me live a little bit longer. To move to another state, fuck off. Jesus.
Right?
That's just embarrassing. He had no pride.
Okay, let's get through these. We've got about 12 minutes of pay-per-view time here left. A whole weekend, this show's free. A three-way dance for the FTW World Heavyweight Championship, Sabu versus Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow. This is from the ECW Arena, August 8th, 1998.
That was the title that Taz made up for himself because he couldn't get the world title shot.
That's right. The ECW World Tag Team Championship match, the Dudleys versus Spike Dudley and Balls Mahoney, Hardcore TV, August 23rd, 1999.
I'm assuming
one of
Spike
about
is
matches,
through a flaming thumbtack.
Yes.
Table.
I think so. The ECW World Heavyweight Championship match, Mike Awesome versus Rhino. This is ECW on TNN, October 1st, 1999.
Which means nobody saw it.
Right. Extreme three-way dance. Yoshihiro Tajiri versus Jerry Lynn versus Super Crazy. It's from November to Remember, 1999. This was a heck of a match.
I'm sure it was. I like that Super Crazy and Yoshihiro Tajiri feud back then. They were having some awesome matches.
Yes, they were. We also have the ECW World Television Championship match, Rob Van Dam versus Mikey Whipwreck, from ECW on TNN, January 28th of 2000. Thank you, Mikey. You will be getting a check in the mail very soon. Not from me, but from WWE. And last one on the Blu-ray itself, a three-way dance for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship match, Just Incredible versus Jerry Lynn versus Steve Corino, ECW on TNN, September 29th of 2000. Now then, there are a couple of Blu-ray exclusives with 911 versus Doink the Clown from Hardcore TV, August 27th, 1994. A steel cage match, the Sandman, Too Cold Scorpio, and New Jack versus the Public Enemy and Mikey Whipwreck. This is from Gangsta's Paradise, September 16th, 1995.
I think Mustafa was in jail.
That's correct.
Well, he wouldn't be in a match at their event named after his team.
True. A four-way dance for the ECW World title. Terry Funk versus Raven versus Stevie Richards versus the Sandman. This is from the Buffalo Invasion, May 17th.
I remember this. This is where, pretty sure this is where Stevie got more neck injuries. Because this is the damnest thing ever. Because Funk brought one of those big old pieces of guardrail right into the ring, and like Stevie was like bent over, and he just had the guardrail, he just held it up, and then he just let it go, fell right on his neck. It was like the most careless fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Pretty ridiculous. The Dudleys versus Public Enemy from Detroit, Michigan, January 23rd, 1999.
I think didn't they have like one match and then they went to the WWF? The Public Enemy or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they returned and they had like one match with the Dudleys, and then I think they ran them out of town or something happened.
Sounds about right. This is where this Lance Storm just wrestled Tommy Dreamer here last month. I think this is might have been where it all started. Tommy Dreamer versus Lance Storm, Hardcore Heaven, May 16th, 1999. And
I think that's when they were starting the Impact players, and I think there was a thing where then Lance come out with like a urine sample and he got poured on him or something like that. To prove he wasn't on steroids.
And the last thing on the DVD and the last thing on my news, the Japanese death match between Super Crazy versus Yoshihiro Tajiri, who's from Hardcore TV, February 11th of 2000. And that is the new ECW unreleased DVD.
Ask Dixie, how does it feel that George W. Bush cares more about black people than you do? When is the New Blood Rising pay-per-view going to happen? I'm dying to know what the Millionaires Club are going to do next. How big is the pizza? That was not Sinbad, by the way.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be a worse promoter than ICP?
Ooh.
They're going to be a worse promoter than in San Antonio until next Vegas. And speaking of ECW, I wonder if I can book Lance Storm versus Mikey Whipwreck in Las Vegas.
I bet you could do that.
Yeah.
Well,
and then we could get
people
to hang out and party with. Huh?
Well, that match, I thought you want people to show up.
Yeah, well, Lance isn't that much of a draw, but, I'll give him a break. He needs a paycheck. But I guess we're done with all the news.
Yes,
have you ever gotten busy in the Burger King bathroom?
No, but I know the
one that they asked Dixie.
Yeah. That is from the Humpty Dance. Remember the Humpty
Dance? 5 minutes. Let me throw the plugs out real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. And at AngryMarks.com, you can also check out our show at BlockTalkRadio.com/Cotrere and older shows at BlockTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio. And you can also check out our the F4W Vegas Convention Super Album that I posted. It's actually, I got that one it's public, so anyone can check that one out if you want to see what happened and see all the guys who showed up to the party, like Magic McGinnis and Evan Bourne and Antonio Thomas. And yeah, so check all that out.
If the TNA title is considered a world title, how big do you consider the world? How does it feel to get beaten in the ratings by your own commercials? Where's my John Wayne? Where's my Prairie Song? Where's my happy ending? Where have all the Cowboys gone?
You can follow me on Twitter at Proper Jam. Please follow me. Got some things coming up. I'll be posting pictures of this weekend's festivities here with UFC in town. That is Proper Jam at Twitter.
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrere. I got a YouTube channel up there. Actually put some an episode of Legends of World Class Championship Wrestling up there the other day. Ed, you might want to check that out. Maybe 83, 84. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's like the best.
It's good stuff. Also, you can go up to, I got a bunch of Memphis stuff. I'm adding stuff to that like almost daily. I just added more to like 1987. So, There were 40 episodes of 1987, like 30 episodes of 1986, and just a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's like if you had Netflix and had Memphis on it, you can just go kind of watch episode to episode if you want to. Some great stuff on there.
Speaking of World Pass, on my Facebook, I posted the one promo where it was, it's Michael Hayes and Fritz, but they're via satellite. It was Michael's close to Atlanta. And it's the one where, when Fritz is cutting his promo, you know, Michael's making some kind of goofy faces. But if you're just looking at Fritz, it's one of those promos where wrestling is fucking real, and there's no doubt about it. You know what I mean? And, it's just an awesome money promo. I mean, as much as I hate Fritz, I mean, he was awesome on the mic and cutting promos at the Freebird.
Okay, here's a good one. Did Garrett Bischoff and Gunnar hum the American Males theme when they don't sing that ass? Hashtag ass Dixie. Hashtag cuckold Surge. Is Ruxar Split supposed to make the audience think they could beat him up? Would you sign Invader 2 if you thought it could pop ratings?
Ooh.
Harsh. What was that one? I heard the 90-second thing in my ear.
Would you sign Invader 2 if you thought it would pop ratings? We need to make this a weekly thing. I'm going to start, I'm just going to start reading these every week. This is awesome. Poor woman. That's what you get for asking for ask questions on Twitter. What do you think you're going to get?
Yeah.
You make it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Tell me doomed.
Trey, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about before we go?
Let the weekend begin.
Hey, did I tell you about the date I had last night?
No, but please do.
Okay. Turned out that I'm a girl I was dating, she's a magician. She's a part-time magician. We were driving home from the restaurant, started rubbing my leg, and all of a sudden I turned into a motel.
Suppose the bat is some of the joke train cells on Facebook.
You can use that.
Alright.
You probably will.
I might.
He tells everything from Al Snow anyway.
Yeah.
I finally saw X-Men World First Class. It's a pretty good movie.
That's an awesome one. I honestly, as much as a big fan of I am of the X-Men and the X-Men movies, when they did like the First Class was going to be kind of different, I kind of, for some reason, didn't have like high hopes for it, but I thought it was excellent. I can't wait for Days of Futures Past.
Yeah, they got all these, they just put up all these on 3KV. They got all of them, all the X-Men films on pay-per-view. So I've been seeing a few of them, so I've been kind of going back and watching them.
I mean, the Magneto character on that First Class is like the greatest villain to be on the movies in a long time. He's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That scene where he killed Kevin Bacon is fucking just fantastic.
I like when they go into the play when they're recruiting the mutants and they run into Wolverine, he just tells them to fuck off.
Oh, that was pretty funny. Yeah. And
then
another scene
when they're... weekend, doesn't it?
I think it'll be today, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not too sure, but I should be checking it out pretty soon. I did see the movie Craig talked about last week. I saw Pacific Rim, and it was actually a pretty decent copy that was online. And
jeez.
It was okay.
It was a Vanarchy reunion.
Right? No shit. Oh, they finally killed what's his name in this movie, and they can't seem to kill him off on the TV show.
I know.
But anyway, so we're over our time. Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and end the show, and hopefully we will have something back, something next week, and we will talk to everybody then. And to the people who were demanding that we just do a show, the three of us, you guys just don't understand how much these shows make my back hurt.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mansion shit. Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.